My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
Well, I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Go to hell, and while you're there, bring me a juice box. How do we feel about July 4th on a Thursday? What would win in a poll of the best day of the week to have July 4th? You have a lot of people, it's like a Thanksgiving sort of vibe here where you have a lot of people who have clearly taken the holiday and made it into a four-day weekend. I think the answer has to be Monday. My favorite holidays are on Mondays. You can look ahead to it, three-day weekend. You wake up on Sunday morning. Oh, I have tomorrow too. Wake up on Monday morning. Oh, look at this. Free day. Special Memorial Day, July 4th when it happens, Labor Day. Those are the ones. They've got it right. Thursday, I think, wouldn't finish. Like Wednesday is probably the worst day or the weekend for the 4th. You got to get as much out of it as you can, right? So you're lucky enough to take today too. Good for you. But my vote is Monday. Ian Harditz, who's been thinking about this at length, I'm sure, as he waits for our conversation to get going from Fantasy Life. Ian, do you have a take? You're a guy who has takes. What's the best day of the week for the 4th?
I feel like Thursday. Maybe you have the highest ceiling, because if you do, then just get Friday off. You know, then we're talking an easy 4-day weekend right there, and you know, you're done at work pretty much on Wednesday, but you might have talked me into Monday. All things considered, you know, we can't control the controllables, focus on what's most likely. Probably with you on Monday.
Does Tuesday deserve a look if Thursday's good? I mean, would it be the same to make a 4-day weekend out of the 4th if it were on a Tuesday?
I think it's a lot easier to get the Friday off than it's going to be to get that Monday off prior to the Tuesday. But we'll see what happens. You know, kind of some wild cards with the Thursday, Tuesday during the week. They can go either way.
Fair. And I think, you know, you have a lot of people, if they're lucky enough to do it, they sort of already take the summer Fridays. So, you know, you're not getting the full extra day if you're like that when it's on a Thursday. Well, let's get to more important subjects. And that, of course, is fantasy football. I love it when I enter a draft, and these drafts now, like at Underdog and other sites, they just fill immediately. It's absolutely out of control how popular these drafts are. I love it when I sign up and there's one of my guys in there. And this happened last week where I saw the famous Free Duke Johnson moniker there, Ian, in a, well, you haven't lived until you've competed in the Mini Schnauzer 5, Ian. I think you'd agree. And, you know, great to see you in there. I thought that draft went well for us both. And it reminded me, thinking that way, reminds me of an article I wrote a few years ago about just, like, how often is it where you think you had a bad draft? Like, it's kind of hard. I went out and tried to pick the worst picks that were realistic in each round in a draft. I didn't spend money on it, but I just did the exercise. Mm-hmm. And still, like, it would have been a draft that I thought, you know, could anything can work, right? So how often do you draft and feel like you messed up or just what didn't go well?
I would say I probably feel pretty good about it, you know, 75% plus of the time, which is ridiculous when you look at their results. You know, I mean, all of our teams are perfect every July and August. Within week one rolls around, and by 135, we're like, what were we thinking this entire time? But I would say the times where things do go wrong is just when you're trying to build something up, you know, with a certain stack. You know, you just need this quarterback to get to you, and it just doesn't go right for you. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a QB room or tight end room that, you know, sadly you had to settle for your fourth or fifth options at the position. But more than anything, I think especially if you're in the types of tournaments that we're playing where, you know, you just need to be perfect with, you know, hundreds and thousands of entries sometimes, it's willing to go out there and try to, you know, play to perfection where, yeah, it's not going to work out sometimes, but when I was doing a best ball mini on the treadmill about an hour ago, I mean, already had Jamar Chase, already had T. Higgins, so am I going to reach on Joe Burrow 20 picks ahead of ADP? No, I'm going to wait there, trust the process, and hopefully get him, you know, at an affordable price, because otherwise I feel like, you know, someone else out there is going to get the perfect draft that this time you did.
Right. That's the thing. There will be how many tens of thousands of teams that have Chase and Higgins and Burrow later? Like, right. And you have that extra reason to think or hope that the next guy won't pick Burrow because why would he? Do you think this point you're making about how, like, when does it go badly when you're trying to build whatever it is, San Francisco, you're hoping for Purdy or even someone later than that? Watson is an interesting one, you know, like 14, 15. And you don't get them, whether it makes any sense for the other team or not. Do you think that that maybe pushes up the top guys where if that happens to you, you don't want that to happen to you, or you might, you know, pay a little extra or build your strategy around Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been a fan of kind of getting those, you know, top five, six, the dual threat alien quarterbacks, you know, at the position where, again, I think fantasy football, as much as it usually does, a pretty good job of replicating who the stars are in real life. I mean, the two positions that we just continuously see buck the trend are receiving running backs because we get the full point on a lot of sites for PPR, and then also those rushing QBs. So always wondered if they would, you know, account for sacks a little more in fantasy scoring, like give quarterbacks a minus one for that, if that could help even things out. But as it is, I mean, look, Josh Allen last year, overall QB1, if he threw for 3,500 yards instead of the 4,300 he had, still would have been QB1. So, you know, I'm cheating a little bit there because of the passing touchdowns would have been down too. But truly, Allen, Hurts, and I think Lamar and Richardson this year, guys are almost playing a different position than everyone else, you know, at least as far as we are scoring them. So, yeah, Anthony Richardson so far, my most drafted quarterback. And
nice.
I think it just, you know, works out pretty well sometimes. We're getting these guys in rounds 5 and 6. And if they have that, you know, chance to be the overall QB1, like I think Richardson does, I think that price tag is going to look just fine here come November, December.
Love it. Yeah. Find me a fantasy analyst who is not cuckoo for Richardson. Who's making the bear argument on Anthony Richardson? It's not me.
There's that funny tweet, you know, a couple of weeks ago from Dan Orlovsky, and Dan does a bunch of good stuff, but he was like, guys, you know, coming out here as an under-the-radar player that could really, you know, take over the league, and it was Anthony Richardson. So, yeah, I mean, I think, again, he's still so raw. I mean, coming out of Florida, the big talk was that he'd only started, you know, 11 to 12 games. And then last year, to more or less, you know, play like 9 or 10 total quarters or whatever it was. That said, both instances, we really have seen him flashing. And when you just, like, again, we see this from the best quarterbacks in the league, the very best, with all due respect to, you know, to us and some of the system guys out there. But just that ability to create off script and get something out of nothing is so lethal when you are pairing it with an offense led by Shane Steichen, who, you know, was a top 10 scoring group last year, even with Richardson getting hurt so early. So I hear you, but man, I just really have a hard time seeing how he busts, especially in fantasy football, if the man can just stay healthy. So one time, injury gods, one time.
Let's go. Ian Hart, it's my guest on the West Hur Hotline from Fantasy Life. One of the best. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off until Monday. So when it comes to the Bills, Ian, you have Allen go underdog, you know, late third. People are hot for Kincaid. Looks like he might be the odds-on favorite to be primary target for Allen. And that's sort of a different thing because of the tight end position. You know, one guy's going to want to – the so-called onesie positions early like that. Other guys are going to want to wait on one or both. And then you have this receiver room, which, I mean, there's a lot of possible outcomes here for what the Bills receiver room will end up looking like and who will emerge. Do you have a favorite for the draft price, whether Shakir Samuel, Coleman, someone else?
Usually Curtis Samuel for me. I mean, he's the one I'm just most confident that we're going to be able to look back in as early as week one and just say, okay, he is the full-time wide receiver in this offense. So I think, honestly, I mean, Curtis and Shakur, I would be very surprised if he's not out there. But you do wonder, you know, when they do want to have their Kincaid Knox, you know, personnel both on the field at the same time, maybe Shakur, if he is going to be the leading slot man, is the odd man out. So I'm just curious to see how long it takes Keon to really go ahead and get that number one job that I know they drafted him for, but his skill set does seem to overlap at least a little bit more with the backups, you know, Claypool, Hollins, MVS, than what Curtis and Shakir have. So 24 million reasons for Curtis to go out there right away. And honestly, you start looking at the RB depth chart and how kind of thin and unproven it is behind James Cook. And I wouldn't be surprised if Curtis's, you know, old OC, Joe Brady himself, is actually able to go out there, get him, you know, upwards of 9-10 combined targets and carries sooner rather than later. So not saying Curtis can go out there and be this top 12, you know, talent, but in Carolina, even for stretches of time in Washington, I mean, he certainly looked like a dude. So now you put him in an offense with by far the best quarterback of his career. I'm definitely in on Curtis Samuel. Priced outside what, like wide receiver 50, 51 right now?
Yeah, I think one of the first things you said was the, you know, the slot receiver with Shakir in mind. I mean, everybody that we talked to, not everybody, but majority opinion on Keon Coleman seems to be best in the slot. Samuel has kind of been that. Kincaid, if Knox is going to play, Kincaid is going to be that. I mean, it's four or five slot receivers. Are you drafting Claypool ever?
You know, every once in a while, very last round, if I already have Josh Allen for it, but just some of the, you know, so-called hype, not that much. You just kind of saw probably one article or one news bit about the guy. You know, Claypool, I will say, he's one of these players where I think we just hold one play against them way too often. I mean, the dude celebrated a first down, yeah, an inopportune time, but he also scored 13 touchdowns as a rookie and remains, you know, one of those, you know, freakier size and speed specimens out there. So out of all the guys I mentioned, MBS, Mac Hollins, and Claypool, I'd say Claypool has the highest upside, but also if he's not on the roster by week one, wouldn't be all that shocking.
Mm-hmm. Who's your 101, Ian? I know we're both playing a lot, and like I'm in a FFPC draft right now with JD, John Daniel, and we ended up picking Lamb at 101, and part of the discussion was like, well, who have we already picked? Like, how much McCaffrey do we have already? You know, if you had one draft, would you pick McCaffrey first?
It's really between those two. I think they're each in a tier of their own, even relative to the rest of the position. I lean CMC. I mean, you know, Shanahan can talk about it time and time again about wanting to maybe get Mitchell or whoever else, you know, involved in that backfield. But based on that money they just decided to give him again and everything we've seen so far, just seems like, you know, when everything goes right, who actually has, you know, the highest single week ceiling, especially in half PPR or standard, I do think it's McCaffrey. But, you know, in CD's respect, though, just in terms of looking at wide receivers and just kind of basing our decision making on usually what are the four categories of how talented is this player, how much target competition does he have, how good is his quarterback, and then, you know, are there any personal age or injury red flags? And you could argue CeeDee kind of has the more complete, you know, four-pronged approach over CMC if you are starting to get a little bit worried about the age. But I believe McCaffrey's still only 28. We really don't see running backs, you know, start to fall off the proverbial age cliff until they are hitting about 30. So obviously no signs of decline in McCaffrey's play. So, again, lean CMC, but it is so close.
Right. Hey, Ian, I'm going to let you go a little bit early today. Really glad we could connect. And I'm not going to the expo. At least I'm not planning on it this year, so I won't see you there. But sometime soon, I hope.
We'll catch you around next time, man. Yeah, for sure. I got a tee time to catch, so I appreciate it, Mike.
Just like the last time we spoke. You're welcome.
There we go.
Thanks for your time. Yep, great day to be great. Ian Harditz on the West Her Hotline. I didn't know he had a hard out, if that's what that was. But we have a Sabres trade.
We do. Ryan McLeod coming over from the Edmonton Oilers. It looks like, this is coming from Elliot Friedman, Matthew Savoy going the other way. So the ninth overall pick from a number of years ago and arguably the Sabres' top prospect still in the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, that can be said. Also, Tyler Tulio from the Edmonton organization. He's played the last two seasons, full seasons, in the American League. Do you have a take on McLeod?
From what I've seen so far on Twitter, it does seem like he's one of the faster players in the NHL, and he's a good two-way player that should fill out their need at center on the third line. So it's a hefty price.
Yeah, it's not the second. It's not the first-line winger here.
This is the third-line center.
This is the third-line center.
It is interesting. I've thought potentially Savoy is expendable for the Sabres for like maybe a little over a year now when you drafted Benson, who played with him and was better and younger, and then Helenius now in this last draft. It does kind of feel like there was just too many forwards in the pipeline, and one of them, maybe even more, do have to go because it's a logjam now at this point.
Ryan McLeod, 4 goals in the Oilers' playoff run, 24 games. During the regular season, 30 points, 12 goals, 30 points for Edmonton in 81 games. None on the power play, even strength. So I have to look up, his ice time. Finished 71st in the Lady Bing. They go 71 or more got votes in the Lady Bing. Okay. That's something. That's one vote, I guess, tied for 71st. All right. Well, you tell me if you want to weigh in on Ryan McLeod. I feel like with these, if there was ever going to be a trade, unless it was for like a monster player, it was going to be somebody that I would have to dig in on. And that'll be the case here for McLeod. I'm familiar with him, but not, entirely familiar, not that familiar with him. And it is pricey. I mean, Savoy was a top prospect, as Zach said, arguably the number one guy they had who was not already with the team, like not counting Benson. But you wanted, fans, everybody sort of wanted Paul too. Like, you might have to, quote, overpay. And that's very much a subjective description, is trading perhaps your top prospect for, I don't want to say role player, maybe he's above that sort of distinction, $2.1 million player, probably on his first contract, I would think, 4 years in the league, Ryan McLeod, and just 10 games played in his first year, so 24. Maybe this would be called that. But, right, they had to do it. I mean, they had to do something to not... Who knows how it'll go, but I think for their credibility with the fans, maybe with anybody, there needed to be a move for an NHL player. And that is clearly what this is. That is trading futures for the present, which was almost unanimously the feeling on what the Sabres needed. So here you go. Ryan McLeod, 4-year player from the Oilers for Matt Savoy. That is the report from Elliot Friedman. We'll let you know if we don't yet whether that's been made official. Still looks like it's just being reported. So, okay. Matt Savoy, we really never knew you. he could be somebody that, has a great career, but this is what it takes. And so I said on, funny to have Paul coming up here to sort of recap the week, and this just fits right in there nicely. End of the week from July 1st on Monday, the start of free agency. I think I was like most voices when it came to them that they were one trade away, maybe even two, but at least one trade away from having this all feel like it was successful. And I guess you get to decide for yourself if Ryan McLeod clears that bar for you. Savoy is a big price to pay. But a young player, and I don't know what his charts look like yet, but I'm going to want to know, and that's probably going to be a lot of where I end up on this trade. Just the willingness, which the Sabres had, maybe kind of lost you on. But your confidence in their being willing to pull the trigger on a trade like this. But they have done it. Matt Savoy reportedly going to Edmonton for four-year player Ryan McLeod. 30 points this season for the Oilers, 4 goals in the playoffs, playing every night. And Ty Tulio, who's been in the American League. Let's take a break here and sort of see what we can learn about McLeod, and maybe you want to give us a call about him. 803-0550 is the number if you do. The Sabres make a move. How about that on a summer Friday? Not to sound too incredulous, but, you know, it wasn't exactly, like I said the other day, if they do, they do. But I'm not going to sit around every day all summer sort of wondering and waiting for it. Here they did the thing that so often was said was needed. Dipping into their prospect pool, and not that deep, right at the top of the list for an NHL player to help them right away. And maybe also for years to come. That'd be the goal, right? 803-0550 for your thoughts. How does this change how you felt about the Sabres summer? I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.